Praise the Lord. Let's all stand if you will. Go to him in prayer this morning. Dear precious Heavenly Father, giver of life, love, joy, peace, Lord, we're so thankful for them this morning. And Lord, we just ask you to accept our praise this morning, accept our song of worship. And Lord, give us revelation of thy word, Lord. We'll give you all the praise, glory, and honor. In the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we ask and pray these things. Amen. You may be seated. Amen. Page 36, I only believe. The big books. Showers of blessings. There shall be showers of blessing. This is the promise of love. There shall be seasons refreshing, sent from the Savior above. Showers of blessings, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Oh, there shall be showers of blessing, precious reviving again. Over the hills and the valleys, sound of abundance of rain. Oh, showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. There shall be showers of blessing, send them upon us, O Lord. Grant to us now a refreshing, come and now honor thy word. Amen. O showers of blessing, showers of blessing we need. Amen. But for the showers we plead, there shall be showers of blessing. Oh, that today they might fall. Now as to God we're confessing, now on Jesus we call. Showers of blessing, showers of blessings we need. Mercy drops round us are falling, but for the showers we plead. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Page 47 in the same book. I know whom I believe in. I know not why God's wondrous grace to me he hath made known, nor why unworthy Christ in love redeemed me for his own. But I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not how this saving faith to me he did impart.
he persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him against that day. I know not what of good or ill may be reserved for me. Of weary ways or golden days before his face I see. Oh, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I've committed unto him. Or noonday fair, nor if I walk the fair with him or meet him in the air. Oh, but I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able to keep that which I commit unto him against that day. And I know whom I have believed and am persuaded that he is able and keep that which I committed unto him.
Yes, I know. Hey, I am persuaded. Amen. 137, they only believe.
Would you be free from your burden of sin? There's power in the blood. Power in the blood. Would you or evil will victory win? There's wonderful power in the blood. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the blood. Amen. There is power, power, wonder-working power in the precious blood of Lamb. Would you be free from your passion and pride? There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Come for a cleansing to Calvary's tide. There's wonderful power in the blood. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Sin stains are lost in its life-giving flow. There's wonderful power in the blood. Oh, yes, there's power, power, wonder-working power in the blood of the Lamb. There is power. Amen. There's power in the blood, power in the blood. Would you live daily his praises to sing? There's wonderful power in the blood.
Brother Kevin, would you like to come up and take the offering up this morning?
Amen.
I knew there's power.
Amen.
That's a blessing, brother.
Gracious Heavenly Father, Lord, how we just love and appreciate you this morning, Lord, for the desire we have burning in our hearts, Lord, and it just bubbling inside. What a wonderful hour we live in, Lord, that we have you in our life and seeing the word being vindicated for this hour through our vessels, Lord. And we just thank you, Lord, for that. And truly there is power in your blood, Lord, and we just glorify and magnify you this morning and just pray, Lord, that you would just bless this portion of the service, Lord. Bless those that can give and those that can. And Lord, just use it for the upbuilding of thy kingdom. And we just ask, Lord, for revelation of your word, Lord, as it comes forth. Lord, may we be hungry and pulling. Lord, just pray that you just give us revelation of that word and feed us this morning, Lord, we ask. In the precious name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thy loving kindness. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy loving kindness is better than life. Thy lips shall praise thee, thus will I bless thee. Thy kindness is better than life. I will lift up my hands in thy name, amen. I will lift up my hands in thy name. My lips shall praise thee. Thus will I bless thee. Thy kindness is better than life.
Amen.
Amen. With the needs on the heart this morning, anybody have a verse in their hand? Brother Settles, would you like to take the question?
Amen. Lord, we thank you for, Lord, the assurance in our heart.
Yes.
Father, when things come up in our lives, needs, Father, anything, Father, that comes up that we don't know how to handle, Father, we can come to you.
Amen.
Lord, your word said, cast your cares upon. Lord, you bore the cross, took our shame, paid the price for everything.
Amen.
Lord, you know what we went through, Father, for you also walked this life. Lord, with the request of the people, we bring them before you and throw them at your feet. Lord, we're going to walk away with faith, understanding, and assurance, Lord, knowing that every request has been met.
Amen.
Yes. Took care of.
Thank you, Lord.
And Lord, may we truly give you the glory and honor, not be as the lepers that left and never come back. But Lord, may we be the one
Amen.
To say thank you, Father. And Lord, testify your goodness.
Thank you, Lord.
Bless us now. Bless every phase, the rest of the service, Lord. May you just get the glory and honor and everything. We ask this in your precious name, Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen. You may be seated. Anybody got a song in the heart story? I guess the kids just got a song this morning. Amen.
Thank you.
spend a lifetime gathering up fame and fortune, but give me Jesus, because he gave his life for me. Amen. Let's all stand, if you will. Reach out and touch the Lord as we ask the brother to come. Reach out and touch the Lord as he goes by. You'll find he's not too busy to
having the breath to be able to gather here and to lift up our voice and sing and praise him. Oh, how wonderful he is. Let's just bow our heads. Heavenly Father, we are truly grateful that, Lord, we have breath within these bodies, Lord, to raise up and to praise you. And, Lord, we thank you that this morning we've awoken with a desire, Lord, to come and to gather around your precious word and, Lord, to partake of whatever it is you would have for us this day. And Lord, we just ask humbly that you would feed us of your precious word, that Lord, through each scripture that's read, Lord, that we could find something to help us, Lord, to encourage us, to help us press on, Lord, to be more like you. And Lord, we've just come hungry, asking you to speak to us, and Lord, to help us. You know each and every one of us as we stand here, Lord, and we just ask, Lord, that you would give us our portion, and we'll never fail to thank you. And Lord, we just ask that you'll bless your word, Lord, bless as I speak your word, Lord, just let me be totally out of the way and just read, Lord, the things that you've given us in this hour. And we'll never fail to give you the praise. In the lovely, glorious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, we ask these things. Amen. Oh, he's so wonderful. Amen. While you're still standing, let's turn our Bibles over to the 2 Peter. Amen. Maybe a little strange topic for this morning, but you know, just kind of the things the Lord laid upon my heart. So we're just going to take a walk through the scriptures, amen, and pray that it'll help us somewhere in our walk with him. Because man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. Amen. And how each one of us, as we stand here today and this Bible's laying before us, how we ought to weigh it carefully, amen, and find ourselves in there. But let's read here in the Second Peter in the first chapter, start there at that third verse. According as his divine power hath given us all things that pertain unto life and godliness, through the knowledge of him that hath called us to glory and virtue, whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these ye might be partakers of that divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And oh, how our minds ought to be renewed and refreshed of the things our pastor has been bringing. On what he's been bringing. And besides this, Peter continues on. He says, and besides this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, and to virtue knowledge, and to knowledge temperance, and to temperance patience, and to patience godliness, and to godliness brotherly kindness, and to brotherly kindness love. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that ye shall neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind, and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged from his old sins. Wherefore, the rather, brethren, give diligence to make your calling and election sure. For if ye do these things, ye shall never fail. For so an entrance shall be ministered unto you abundantly into the everlasting kingdom of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Wherefore I will not neglect to put you always in remembrance of these things, though ye know them, and be established in the present truth. Yea, I think it meet, as long as I am in this tabernacle, to stir you up by putting you in remembrance. May the Lord bless the reading of his word, and you may be seated. But my, as we gather in here, saints, and we gather around the precious word, there's many, many things in God's precious word, and how you can, many topics and things you can take and preach on. But this morning I just felt led to, we're written epistles read of all men. And it's wonderful to be able to talk about being in the thoughts of God. That's wonderful to be able to see yourself there. And all of these things are needful to build the faith that we have within us. But nevertheless, we must always continue to search to, as Peter put it there, wherefore rather give diligence to make your calling and election sure. And how we want to make sure that every word is of importance in our life and every word is being manifested and lived of what God's left for us. And you know how I was thinking on these things and how we look into the land today and we see the corruption and all that's taking place and how families are not families anymore and God's not first in their lives. And we see all of these things and many just the perversion that's taken place throughout the land. And I wanted to just go back and turn, if you want to turn with me to Genesis, and we're just going to read the way God put things in order and just bring to our mind our places as men and as wives, as parents, and even you children. There's a place, that there's scriptures in here for each one of us today to think about and to measure up by and say, Lord, is this exactly the way it ought to be in my life? But I'm going to turn to Genesis, the third chapter. And let's just read that, start there at the 14th verse. This is after what had happened in the garden. But just listen to the scriptures. God recorded these scriptures in here for our admonition. He knew we would need each thing that I'm going to read today. God made sure that it was written into this Bible for a purpose. And that's because it must be lived. It must be an expression. Not just my mouth that I love Jesus Christ, but everything about me is expressing that Jesus Christ sits on the throne of my heart. And he is expressing out through me these very words that he left here. Amen. Let's read here. He says, and the Lord God said unto the serpent, because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle and above every beast of the field. And upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, and it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. And unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. And in sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of, cursed is the ground for thy sake, and in sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. And thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, and for dust thou art, unto that dust thou shalt return. And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. And unto Adam also and to his wife did the Lord God make coats of skins and clothe them. And the Lord God said, behold, the man is become as one of us to know good and evil. And now lest he put forth his hand and take of the tree of life and eat and live forever. Therefore the Lord God sent him forth from the Garden of Eden to till the ground from whence he was taken. And so he drove out the man, and he placed at the east end of the garden cherubims and a flaming sword which turned away to keep the way of the tree of life. So here we see where this happened, and today why we're all sitting here where we are. And how God put it all into order that he created the man and he created the woman. And he put us here. That God's plan would be fulfilled in everything. But now let's go ahead and turn, amen, over here to Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Amen. And you know, when you stop to think of that scripture and what had happened and how Eve caused him to fall, and you can, Adam now seeing his covenant, and oh my, how, when you begin to see how Paul began to write over here, you can see how this now has become greater and more multiplied in our lives. In Ephesians, the fifth chapter. Amen. I turned the wrong way. But let's just listen at these things as Paul felt led to write them down here for us. Amen. Ephesians, the 5th chapter, and I'm going to start here at the 25th verse. Amen. Well, I mean Galatians, that's why it didn't line up. Amen. 25th verse, husbands, love your wives, even as Christ has also loved the church and gave himself for it, that he might sanctify and cleanse it with the washing of the water of by the word, that he might present to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but that it should be holy and without blemish. So ought men to love their wives as their own bodies. He that loveth his wife loveth himself. For no man ever yet hated his own flesh, but nourished it and cherished it, even as the Lord the church. For we are members of his body, of his flesh, and of his bones. And for this cause shall a man leave his father and mother, and shall cleave unto his wife, and they two shall be one flesh. This is a great mystery, but I speak concerning Christ and the church. Nevertheless, let every one of you in particular so love his wife even as himself, and the wife see that she reverence her husband. And as I begin to think on these things and we begin to look at them, how out of cater this picture is today throughout all the land, how it's totally become totally messed up. And even from what God put into his word is when he said Adam would till from the soil. Today, men and women have changed their roles. The men want to stay home and take the women's role and raise the children. And the women want to be in the workplace and work and provide and be the go-getter and the breadwinner for their families. And how we see this turned around in the world today from what God set in order. And how women don't want to be, we'll get there, let's go ahead and, so just keep that in mind. And let's go ahead and turn over here to 2 Timothy in the 3rd chapter. We're talking to the men here now. And just think about that. Love your wife as Christ has loved the church. And how, that's a lot of love, saints. Love's corrective. Love does, it's always there, always mindful. Look at what all God has given us. Look what he, as the bride of Jesus Christ, look what he's done for us. He's not withheld anything, as our pastor mentioned here a service or two ago. He give us all things that pertain unto life and godliness. And how as a husband it ought to be within our hearts to be able to do all we can for our wives. Give them everything that we can give them. Amen. And love them as ourselves. And oftentimes as husbands we should ask ourselves, am I selfish? Am I, as I look into this word, and do I treat myself better than I treat my wife? You know, maybe my wife hardly ain't got any shoes to wear. Maybe she needs a new dress, but you know, I always make sure I've got brand new work boots and my clothes are always the nicest and I always look the best. And my poor family maybe look like they're struggling. But the point being is, where's my love? Do I really look? The Bible says look on the thing of others more than the things of yourself. That's not just your brothers and sisters. That's your family. Your wife is your sister in Christ. Your children, you're raising them that they're going to be sons and daughters of God. If God's placed that little elected seed on them, one day they're going to be your brother and sister in Christ. Right now, they're your children. But we're all brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ. And we should all look upon, even as families, and just think about it this morning. That's what people see. They look at me and my wife and my children, and they see us every day in our life. Maybe I invite them into my home to come where I live. And they come in and they sit down and they see all that I have in my home, my children. They see my wife. They see our home. They see everything we do. Now, whether I tell them I'm a Christian or whether I bring them in, they ought to be able to come into our home. And the first thing they ought to feel is the presence and the sweetness of the Holy Spirit. Of a home that's in the unity and the faith. And how the presence of God ought to dwell in our home just like it dwells here. Or wherever you go, he dwells within you. And that presence, a husband and wife that are both born again, living in unity, that sweetness of the Holy Spirit should abode in that home. It should be a safe place. It should be a place the children want to be. It should be a place that mommy and daddy want to be. A unity, not a place they're trying to run from. But if that sweetness ain't there, you don't want to be there. If husband can't get along, wife can't get along, there's no unity, there's no peaceness there. The children don't want to be there. Oh my, but you bring the sweetness of the Holy Spirit into that home and you watch it just begin to jail. But we must look into the Word and look. God has given us instructions for everything. This world been put out books. Women put out books, how to love your husband, how to treat your children, how to raise them. When God left every instruction we need laying right here in front of us.
Amen.
But we often don't consult it. And we often want to push it aside because if I took heed to that, I'd have to change what I'm doing. I couldn't be what I am. But God's got a purpose in our life, and God is looking for people that will match this 100%. And how we can see it, not just in the world, we see it creeping into message churches. The women want to rule the men. The women want to be in charge. They want their say in everything. When all of this scripture's laying here. And oh my, how we should each one, as I said, we'll find each one of ourselves within this scripture. Let's turn it in 2 Timothy, the 3rd chapter. And this Timothy talking here, Paul to Timothy. And he's giving him the qualifications of a bishop. Now, just as we said here this morning, each one of us men, we may not desire the office of a bishop, but each one of us should show live according to the will of the Lord every day, that our lives would be such a place that we could match these scriptures of that qualification of a bishop or of a deacon, if that's what the Lord sees fit for us to be. This is a true saying. If a man desires the office of a bishop, he desireth a good work. A bishop then must be blameless, the husband of one wife, vigilant. Listen at these things. Vigilant, sober, and of good behavior. Given to hospitality and apt to teach. Not given to wine, no striker, not greedy, a filthy lucre, but patient. Not a brawler, not covetous. One that ruleth well his own house and having his children in subjection with all gravity. For if a man know not how to rule his own house, how shall he take care of the church of God? Not a novice, lest being lifted up with pride he fall into condemnation of the devil. Moreover, he must have a good report of them which are without, lest he fall into reproach and the snare of the devil. Likewise must the deacons be grave, not double-tongued, not given to much wine, and not greedy of filthy lucre, holding the mystery of faith and pure conscience. And let these also first be proved, and then let them use the office of a deacon, being found blameless. Even so must their wives be grave. Amen. Look at that. Look at the whole picture of what God wants that deacon's home to be in. And how each one of us should crave that in our own home. Maybe I'm not a deacon, but I should still crave that these things would all be present in my life. Even so their wives be grave, not slanderers, sober, faithful in all things. And let the deacons be husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their house as well. For they have used the office of a deacon well to purchase themselves a good degree and great boldness in the face which is in Christ Jesus. And if you back up there, he says, in that 12th verse, let the deacons... Amen, I missed it. Let me see. He said, let the deacons... The 12th verse, let the deacons be the husbands of one wife, ruling their children in their own house as well. Amen. Oh, goodness. It's the 11th verse. Even so must their wives be grave, not slanderous, sober, faithful in all things. And how is we can use it the same way, type the natural and the spiritual as husbands and or bride of Christ to Jesus Christ. We're faithful in all things. There's not one thing we want out of line. Not one thing we don't want to make sure it's right in tune with what God said. And how that just transfers. Just keep an eye, watch it. It's the natural and the spirit all the time. As Paul used this many times throughout his message. And how our prophet in marriage and divorce, he showed how the women and the men, how it was typing Christ in the bride. And how it all blends together to make such a pretty picture of what Jesus Christ wants.
Amen.
Amen. Now I'm going to go back to Ephesians, the 5th chapter. Amen. And let's read it this way. We're going to back up. In Ephesians 5, and we'll go to the 22nd verse. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And how is this picture, when it begins to trend? The scripture says a man leaves his mother and father, be joined unto his wife. They too become one flesh, just as the bride of Jesus Christ is becoming one with him. So that unity of a man and a woman should become so close. They're one. They love one another so much. She's preferring him. He's preferring her. But he's in his role as head. He's ruling over his home, watching for every little thing. And that wife is right there behind him doing exactly whatever he says he wants done. She's right there with him, not pulling against him, not striving against him. Maybe the husband says, this is the way I want my children raised, and this is the way it's going to be in my home. And the husband leaves and goes to work, and the wife raises up and says, well, he's gone now. I'm going to do it like this. This is the way I want to do it. When daddy's not home, this is how we're going to do it. When daddy's home, you do it like that. That's wrong. It's the unity. He is the head, and he set the rules. And the wife under submission says, amen to it, and we're going to do it the way daddy said it's going to be done. The same way it is with Jesus Christ. He said, this is the word for this day for the bride of Jesus Christ. You can't say, well, I'm going to change it and do it a different way. It must be exactly the way God's put it in order. And if we'll get our homes and everything about us running in tune with God's word, you watch everything we do in life work to God's glory. You watch it. Sometimes we may wonder why we struggle through life so. Maybe we seem to have everything we need, but there's no happiness in my home. And Brother Branham used the example of the man in choosing of a bride that married the real pretty girl. And they had everything they needed, and they moved up on the great big hill and lived so well. But there wasn't no love in their heart for each other. And then he talked about the poor little boy and girl. They got married, they really loved one another, and they moved down there in an old boxcar. Didn't have money, and he wanted to get her a dress so bad that she had saw in a store window. But he couldn't afford it. But yet they sat there with such a love and a unity. They didn't have nothing of this worldly's goods. But yet a love within their heart, their unity to one another. She was reverencing him. She was in respect to him. And look how much glory God got out of that. And oftentimes as we go through life and we're raising our children are watching us. And sometimes they're our greatest critics. As we raise up and they're in our home every day. They see you when you come home from work in a bad mood. They see your wife when she's had a bad day. They see all of this. And as we're raising our families and we're there and they're looking, do they see a life of Christ expressing for me when no one else is around that makes them want what I have burning in my heart? Do they see that Jesus Christ truly is ruling and controlling every action in the home? They see that the love for Jesus Christ is not just something that's talked about at church or when we're with brothers and sisters. But it's an everyday affair in our lives that this word means more. Amen. Or not, they come to church and we hear the word preached, but we're doing something different than what the word said in our homes. They know. And saints, we've seen this happen. Over the years growing up, we've seen that happen. The word come. This is the way the word said it ought to be. And a family, we're going to do it like this. We're going to do it like that. And we're going to have this. Just don't tell nobody. That's not what God said. God's word's clear cut to the decision. Rule your home and make sure and weigh it out. And how it all ought to be so in tune with God that everything we do and say is, it just blends. It's a perfect picture of Jesus Christ and the church, the husband, the wife, the family. It's all a unity, a picture showing forth that Jesus Christ has got the preeminence in everything we do and say. And how it should rule out in raising our children, making sure the correction's there. Spare not the rod. Spare not for their crying. Those are scriptures. But there's also a compassion and a love that goes with that. We don't take up for sin. And we make sure they know the right way to go. But there's got to be a love to reach out to them. You've got to have a compassion to understand what they're going through. Where they've been and what they've had to deal with maybe that day. And to be able to take the word of God. And maybe they begin to get into their teenage years. And you begin to see rebellion and different things in their life, and they're struggling, they're trying to grow into adults, and yet they're still trapped under being a child, and maybe that's a true struggle in their life going on. And as human beings, we can try to deal with it in any way we want. I'll do this, and I'll drive a hard fist, and they're going to this. But what about going to Jesus Christ in prayer and saying, Lord, you blessed me with this child. The Lord seemed fit to give you the children that we have. If they've ever been placed in our care, God seemed fit to allow it to happen. And they're our responsibility, and we're going to give an account for what we've done with that child, whether we corrected them, or whether we loved them, or whether we reared them according to God's word. But it's back to the days when there is families that can truly be living examples of what Jesus Christ wanted them to be. Amen. Oh, my saints, this world's gone crazy. The children are insane. The adults are insane. There's nothing about it. But Jesus Christ in this age is going to have a people that every word will be so in tune in their hearts and in their lives. And it'll bring forth. But oh my, we've got to make sure we stay in our place as a husband. We've got to stay as a ruler. We've got to be the head of that home. We've got to make sure we're wearing that coat and providing for our own. We're there to whatever it takes. Maybe I can't provide for my own, and I begin to see that it's not there. Go to God in prayer and say, Lord, I see I've got a duty to my family. I need a job. Maybe I need a job that pays more. Maybe I need a job that allows me more home time or whatever it is. You take it to God in prayer and watch God move on the scene. If your heart's in the right place and your motive and objectives right, you watch God move down in that situation and it work out according to God's word. And it'll blend so perfectly and God will get the glory out of it. But oh my, sometimes our motives and objectives aren't quite in the right spot when we take new jobs or we want to change jobs. It's for the wrong reason sometimes. If I get a new job and I make more money, I can buy more things. You know, saints, we all live by the grace of God. And everything we have, God has graciously let us use and give to us. And you know, I often think of that as we talk about husband and wives. And just take it to the natural as brothers here. We're the wife of Jesus Christ. Everything we have is borrowed. Everything we have is God said, I see fit to let you use that. How would you feel? You know, our pastor's not here this morning. We'll use him. Let's say our pastor owned a nice vacation home down on a big, beautiful lake. And he had this nice property. And boy, maybe we didn't have the money to go on vacation. And he'd walk up to us and say, brother, you take you and your family and you go down there and I want you to spend a week in my home. And you use it like it's yours. And you really enjoy yourself. I'm sure each one of us would go down there and we'd maybe go there and stay the week. And when the end of the week came, I'm sure we'd go through that house just a cleaning and a sweeping, making sure everything was right back the way it was when we got there. Make sure that there wasn't no trash out on the yard or anything laying around. We'd make sure that it was all just perfect because we'd want that opportunity to be able to borrow it again. And we'd want to leave it a good report that, well, that belongs to our pastor. We want to make sure. Well, I want you to think about that. Someone greater than your pastor has given you everything you've got in life. Your car, the home you live in, the clothes you wear, and the shoes that you put on your feet. God, your Lord Savior Jesus Christ made sure you had the things that you have need of. I wonder how he looks down at us sometimes and sees how we're taking care of what he's given us. Or if it's just an old house, who cares? It's just an old car, who cares? Just an old pair of shoes, who cares? But God has graciously let us take and use this. He's let us use that. I wonder if he sees that we truly see this belongs to the King. Yes. This isn't mine. I'm only borrowing it. Amen. But by God's grace, he let me borrow it. And I ought to return it in the same shape he gave it to me. Yes. But do we think about it? Do we think about that these clothes that I'm wearing? Yeah, I worked. I worked 40 hours a week. Did we ever stop to think who gave me the breath to get out of bed first thing in the morning to get to that job? Second, do we think who gave me enough mind to think throughout the day to do what I have to do? And who gave me the strength and let me keep all five fingers on each hand that I can work? And give me the muscles to get there to do what I've got to do? Do we stop to think that without his mercy and grace, we are nothing, we have nothing, we would be nothing? So often that's why, I'm a tough man, I rule my home. If you wasn't for God's grace, you wouldn't even have the breath to be a man. You wouldn't have the breath to be a wife to reverence your husband, but if it wasn't for God's mercy and grace to you.
That's right.
But we often forget these things. We forget and we get puffed up in ourselves. I'm smarter than my husband. I ought to be the one to make the decisions. I ought to do this and I ought to do that. That's not what God said.
Amen.
You said, till death do we part. Those are our decisions in the reverence and to respect our husbands as wives. That's what we're going to do.
Amen.
We're going to concede to him. The veil's on his shoulder. He's in charge. And oh my, if we can each find our place as men, we've got to be men.
Yeah.
As women, we've got to be true wives and fall into that category. And you watch God work in your home, work in your life like never before.
Yeah.
But you've got to get it together. You can't take two horses and put them in a team and try to pull a buggy and one wants to back up and one wants to go forward. You're not going to get anywhere.
Yeah.
But you get them both in the same team pulling together. And you watch God put that right together.
Yeah.
It'll work, saints. It'll go right down the line the way God wanted it to. And problems that you thought was problems will go out the window. But you got to make sure that Jesus Christ is on the control seat of your heart. And that's these things. If you can't be a wife and be under subjection, he's not there. If you can't be a husband and rule your wife and rule your family well, he's not there. Because if he's in there, this body will come subject to every word Jesus Christ spoke. God will have men that will be men and women that will be women. And their lives are going to bear forth fruit that he's alive and living through their lives. But it's not just, oh, I'm a man, oh, I'm a woman, we got kids and we're living through this life. God had a purpose for this to all happen. Amen. Just the way that it happened. Oftentimes it gets to be, you know, this day and age, women don't want children. They want an animal. Brother Branham showed us that. They want an animal. Oh, we don't want no kids. We want them animals. We can take care of them animals. And then they turn them animals, trying to turn them human. That's not God's way. But God made a way for a woman to bear children. That was her covenant. And she was to love those children. But today God gives us children, we won't want nothing to do with them. We want to be away from them. I've had all I can take of my kids. There is days, I know that happens. There's days many of us men on the job. Why do we have to work? Why am I going through this? But God said, from the sweat of your brow you would make forth. We each have a covenant to fulfill, and we can't complain about it. But there's one source of strength. When you get to that point, go to God in prayer. Lord, you give me this burden. Help me to bear it like a Christian would bear it in this day. Amen. Is God, Brother Branham led the little example of the wife that had it when she was saved and her husband wasn't, that old drunk. And him come home and throwing dishes and stuff. She could have got all riled up and said, I'll have you know I don't have to bear this, but no. She cleaned up the mess. She never opened her mouth. She just, I'm sure under her breath, she was praying, asking God, Lord, give me the grace and the strength to go through this. And then stand there and sweep that up and sing, must Jesus bear the cross alone? We need to think about it, saints. It's every aspect of our life, not just, praise God, I'm a Christian, I'm following a message, and I believe Brother Branham was a prophet, and I'm going to heaven. But God left words here that he said, man shall not live by bread alone. But every word's got to be vindicated in our lives. Every word. And we must find it, amen. And it's got to become a reality to us of why I'm rearing my children. God's watching me. He put them in my care. Whether I'm the father or the mother, God's watching over me saying, what are you doing with them? They're in your care. Maybe one of your children's got that little elected seed laying down on the inside, and it's your duty to nourish it and care for it to get it to where God can deal with it. What are you doing for it? Amen. And it's, you know, oftentimes we can get to the point, well, I don't have any problems with this child, but this child over here, he gives me a lot of fits. And saints, I'm talking from experience. I've got four children. I've got four children that are all different. I've got two boys. I got two girls. Natures are different on both sides. Amen. And as you begin to watch children grow up, you see it take place. You see things, and it happens. But I want you to know something. I want you to remember Jacob and Esau. The whole time they were growing up through their childhood, Jacob was the shyster. He was out lying. He was out causing all the grief, doing all he could do. But before the foundations of this world was formed, God said, Jacob have I loved and Esau have I hated. Remember that, saints. God's sovereign in who he chooses. And he don't think like we think. But all he give us was one requirement. You raise them in the admonition of the Lord. And that's our duty. And we must do it diligently. It's a word, one word. That one word's enough to keep me out of the kingdom of heaven, though I understand all the rest. Every word must be on display in our hearts and in our lives. Amen. I forgot where I was. Amen. Let's see here. I was in Ephesians. Amen. Let's just make sure I got this. Ephesians 5:22. Wives, submit yourselves unto your own husbands as unto the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church, and he is the Savior of the body. Therefore, as the church is subject unto Christ, so let the wives be to their own husbands in everything. And oh my, how these words ought to resound in our hearts in everything. Just like it does in the spiritual, when the word comes, Lord, let me be subject in everything. As a wife, may we truly find that place and a true reverence. That, as he says in... Let's go on here. Let's go to 1 Peter in the 3rd chapter. Amen. Hallelujah. It's a little different, but I pray we can each find a little something. Amen. Amen. To strengthen us, to encourage us. Amen. Sometimes we go through things in life because maybe we forgot something of instruction the Lord give us. Sometimes we back up and find a little instruction in the scriptures, and sometimes it'll make our life so much easier. Amen. This is the 3rd chapter, 1 Peter. Amen. And likewise, ye wives, be in subjection to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, They may also, without the word, be won by the conversation of the wives, while they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fear, whose adorning let it not be that outward adorning of the plaiting of the hair and of wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart, in that which is not corruptible, even an ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. And you know, Brother Branham gave some instructions one time. He said, he told some young men, he said, if you ever want to see what a young lady is going to be, you look at her mother. Have you ever stopped to think about that? That as wives, as we're raising our daughters, that someday some young man's going to come around, and that young man's going to be raised in this, going to have the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and he's going to come around and begin to weigh out this precious word. Maybe he's seeking a wife. And maybe if the Lord should tarry and our daughters have raised up to that point, and he begins to look. And we're not talking about outward appearances. We're talking about looking, because Christ would look on the inner man. He's not looking on the outward man. And that's the same way any young man that's looking for a wife is truly looking for character. He's looking for someone that's going to be there to raise his children. He's looking for someone that's going to be a helpmate to him. Someone that's going to be there to help support him and to be through whatever he needs. She's going to be there to be whatever he wants. But what if they have to look at maybe our mothers, this young daughter's mother, and they see that she doesn't really reverence her husband, doesn't really care what he wants or anything, and half the time he has to do all the housework anyway. Nothing wrong with a husband helping with housework. Nothing wrong with a husband sweeping or mopping a floor, washing dishes. Not a thing wrong with it. But what if this young man's looking around and he sees this big picture, and he sees it over and over again, that, wonder what that little girl's going to be like. And saints, how we ought to make sure that we're teaching our children totally. But not only just my children, how my life, how I should be concerned as a wife, that my life is shining forth, that I am this. What we just read. Likewise, let ye wives be subject to your own husbands, that if any obey not the word, they also may without the word be won by the conversation of the wife. While they behold your chaste conversation coupled with fears, whose adorning is not let it be with the outward adorning of plaiting of hair or wearing of gold or putting on of apparel, but let it be the hidden man of the heart in that which is not corruptible, even the ornament of a meek and quiet spirit, which is in the sight of God a great price. For after this manner in the old time, the holy women also who trusted in God adorned themselves, being in subjection unto their own husbands. Even as Sarah obeyed Abraham, calling him Lord, whose daughters ye are as long as ye do well and are not afraid with any amazement. Likewise ye husbands, dwell with them according to the knowledge, giving honor unto the wife as unto the weaker vessel, and as being heirs together of the grace of life, that your prayers be not hindered. Amen. Together. Notice that. Amen. And finally, be ye all of one mind, having compassion one of another, and love as brethren. Be pitiful and be courteous. Amen. Just look at the picture that Paul painted here. We've each got a covenant, and we've each got to stay in our position. That's what God gave us. As sons and daughters of God, I don't worry about you as a husband you're watching over, but just think of it in this case. I'm a son of God. I'm looking to see what's required of me as being a man for the Lord Jesus Christ. As a woman ought to be doing the same thing. She's looking to see what's in there for me and what have I missed. Amen. What have I failed to do? And saints, we all grow as calves in the stall. And my wife will be the first to tell you, I was the worst husband there ever could have been for probably the first 10 years of our marriage. Probably not that long. But God knows. You know, and you say, oh, you just needed to grow up. No, I needed a new birth. Amen. I needed the baptism of the Holy Ghost is what I needed that would make this live the way God said it would. Amen. And thanks be to Jesus Christ, I have that today. Yes. And I believe every day I still search, and I still sometimes realize, may make it to do something and then realize, Lord, I shouldn't have done it that way. Forgive me, Lord. And I turn it and try to raise them a different way. Maybe it's dealing with a child. Maybe I dealt with it just the wrong way. Amen. Oh, my saints. Do we realize that everywhere God's watching over us every day, every move we make, there's nothing hid. He sees us. He sees when I'm over here maybe trying to tell this brother something and oh, I tell such a wonderful story. But then get with another brother and that picture is totally different. God saw both sides and he knows.
Amen.
And that's how we ought to go to God in prayer, Lord, to open my understanding.
Yes.
And it's the same way with everything in life. Every word God spoke, he said for it would be fulfilled. And how we ought to cry out to God for revelation to make sure that I am matching every word God has left for us. Amen. Let's see here. I'll try to hurry up. Amen. Let's see. That was in 1 Peter. Let's go back to us. 1 Timothy, the second chapter. And I've got the 9th to the 15th verse here. In like manner also, that women adorn themselves in modest apparel with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broided hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. Let the woman learn in silence with all subjection. But I suffer not a woman to teach, nor to usurp authority over the man, but to be in silence. And Adam, for Adam was first formed, then Eve. And Adam was not deceived, but the woman being deceived was in transgression. Notwithstanding, she shall be saved in childbearing, and if they continue in the faith with love and holiness and with sobriety. And oh my saints, how these precious words, when you begin to find your place in there, that is the assurance that comes. When I look as a wife and I see, thank you, Lord, by your mercy and grace, I see this words being fulfilled in me. That's the assurance that keeps going hand in hand with the blackboard drawing. I was in the thoughts of God. For without Christ, this is not possible. This is only by him and through him can this kind of a life live through a man and live through a woman. Only way a home can truly be in unity is if Jesus Christ is the true ruler of that home. Amen. He is the head of man. Man is the head of the wife. And oh my, how you get that picture right in tune, it'll make life so much easier on so many levels for you. But oh my, we must make it work to God's glory. That's why we're here, to be those people that people can look at. Boy, you don't see families like that anymore. You don't see that unity between husband and wives anymore. Today, it's the wife's off running over here and the husband's off running over there, and they see each other once in a while and the kids are out doing who knows what. Nobody knows, really knows where they're at or what they've been doing. That's today's life. But oh my, where's that unity of it's family? And where's the, it's being a husband and you come home sometimes and oh my, the wife's had a bad day with the kids. A real bad day. And she may say, honey, this is, where's the take the time to sit down and say, I want to hear about it. Let's talk about it. And then maybe you don't know what to do, but then the husband goes to God in prayer. Lord, we got a situation here. Well, what do I do? How do I deal with it? Well, my daddy would have dealt with it like this. I don't care how my daddy would have dealt with it. I don't care how your daddy would have dealt with it. How you just God leading you to deal with the situation you're in. Amen. Our parents may have done wonderful jobs raising us. They may have done it exactly the way God showed them to do it. But every person's different and every time is different. And God, you've got to lean on God. We don't lean on the way I was raised. That's the way I was brought up. This is why I do this is because of that. Jesus Christ should change our entire nature. That should all, this word should take preeminence and control of our lives. And that's what's shown. Jesus Christ, not while he's just a Finley. He's just a Hamilton. He's just this. No, Jesus Christ is on the center of heart. I am a Christian for Jesus Christ in his day. That's what should be shining forth throughout our lives. Oh my, saints, think about it. God is here to prove this world, this nation, that he is still alive. And you and I are the people he's going to do it through by God's grace. We're in that number. Amen. And how we ought to be so thankful for that. Amen. Let's go to Ephesians, the 6th chapter, real quick. Amen. Hallelujah. Now it's to the children. Just listen. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live a long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in a nurture and admonishment of the Lord. And just think of that, children. You better respect your mother and father. You better honor them.
Because the day will come. You wonder maybe why you're sick. Maybe this will happen to you as you hit your teenage years. Things begin to go haywire. Oh my, what happened? Did you honor your mother and father? Did you give respect where it was due? Did you follow the word for yourself the best you knew how to do it? Amen. You better take heed. Fifth verse, servants. Here we go, us men on the jobs, working. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh with fear and trembling, and singleness of heart as unto Christ. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart. It was God's will and way for this time and season that I be a man and work and hold a job and provide for my own. I may not like the job I go to every day. I may not like what I have to do, but I have to do it. And, you know, oftentimes that can become such a thing. I just don't like this job. I'm going to quit. And how that's the new age rule in life of people. Oh, I ain't got to do this. I ain't going to do that. But Jesus Christ has got a people, no matter which situation they're placed in, you know, they do what they have to. And, you know, I can honestly say my father was a true example of that. Growing up, he provided for his own. He was off every day to be at the church to help do whatever needed done. It was a great example. But that wasn't just my father. That was Jesus Christ in him manifesting himself out through that. He understood the place he had been put. He could have job hopped, run all over the country trying to find something that would have made him wealthy. We had food on our table. We may not have always had what we wanted, but we never went without. Many times maybe we didn't like what we were having for supper, but we had food to eat. And that's where, with a thankful heart, today we've got into an age where it's the land of plenty. Food stamps, eat steaks, and whatever you want. You can do all these things that come by so easily. But we forget, you know, oftentimes we're not even thankful that we still even have food. You know, and how maybe you, nowadays it's, oh, can we have this? Well, we don't have any in the cupboard. Why ain't we got any in the cupboard? Instead, and saints, I'm talking for myself as well. How much more thankful we really should be. I'm looking at my own life as I read these scriptures this morning. I was weighing my own self out. Lord, I've come short. I found myself wanting in a few things. Maybe I haven't been as thankful as I really truly ought to be. And oh my, how that's what the purpose of this precious word should be doing in our hearts and our lives. It's not just word. Well, we read them words this morning. That's what he said. But we should be applying it. Amen. Pulling it on the inside. Amen. It's just like a balance scale. Lord, where am I at? Where's the weight? Lord, how this should just search down into our hearts. Not with eye service as men pleasers, but as servants of Christ doing the will of God from the heart, with good will doing service as to the Lord and not to men, knowing that whatsoever good thing any man doeth, the same shall he receive of the Lord, whether he be bond and free. And ye masters, do the same things unto them, forbearing, threatening, knowing that your master also in heaven is neither is there respect of persons with him. And how we ought to, everything we do it as unto the Lord. Amen. That I go to this job today, I'm not just doing that so I can buy a new car. I'm not just doing that to provide for my family. But this was the covenant that God placed Amen. Me in. And I'm going to this job to fulfill what God's told me I have to do. I'm in His will. This is what He predestinated a man to do in this time and season that we're in. And oh my, I'm not working just to make the boss say, oh, you did a fine job. But I'm there knowing the Lord's watching over me. He sees me when I say, Elijah, who cares how good a job it is? I'll just push that under the rug. Don't worry about it. You might have thought you were just doing it to your boss. But God's looking down saying, oh my, you lack a revelation. That's how God sees these things. We often think of human as human beings, but we need to get into this and look at it as God looks at it. Amen. And weigh it out through His precious word. Amen. Let's see here. Let's go to Titus 2. Unless that's where I was just at. Titus 2. Amen. Amen. I'll try to hurry up here. Amen. Lost my place. Amen. I pray, like I said, I hope we can each find something here to encourage us, to help us, to grow stronger in Christ. Amen. Hold us this Titus in the second chapter, in the first verse. But speak thou things which become sound doctrine, that the aged men be sober, grave, temperate, sound in faith, in love and patience. That the aged women likewise, that they be in behavior as becometh holiness, not false accusers, not given to much wine, teachers of good things, that they may teach the young women to be sober, to love their husbands, and to love their children. You've got great responsibility, wives. Just as the men have great responsibilities to provide for you and to love you as Christ loved the church. Oh my, how, what a great picture. To be discreet, chaste, that they may teach to love their husbands, love their children, to be discreet, chaste keepers at home, good, obedient to their own husbands, that the word of God be not blasphemed. And young men likewise exhort to be sober-minded in all things. And as our brother's been speaking, on all things, just remember that little verse, I believe he read it. In all things, showing thyself a pattern of good works and doctrine, showing uncorruptness, gravity, sincerity, sound speech that cannot be condemned, that he that is of the contrary part may be ashamed, having no evil thing to say of you. Exhort servants to be obedient unto their own masters, and to please them well in all things, not answering again, not purloining, but showing all good fidelity, that they may adorn the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. For the grace of God that bringeth salvation hath appeared to all men, teaching us that denying ungodliness and worldly lust, we should live soberly, righteously, godly in this present world, looking for that blessed hope, the glorious appearing of the great God, our Savior, Jesus Christ, who gave himself for us that he might redeem us, a peculiar people, zealous of good works. These things speak, exhort, and rebuke with all authority, and let no man despise thee. And oh my, how Paul put all of this in wonderfully into Scripture, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit and what God told him to write. And how we ought to take heed greater to these things. Amen. Let's see here. I think I got to. Let's turn over to 1 John, 3rd chapter, the 18th verse. Amen. Yeah, 1 John, 3rd chapter, and the 18th verse. My little children, let us not love in word, neither in tongue, but in deed and in truth. And hereby we know that we are the truth and shall assure our hearts before him. For if our heart condemn us, God is greater than our heart and knoweth all things. And if we're lacking one spot in this word today that I've spoke about, our heart will condemn us. But God is here by his precious word to show us where we're wrong so we can grow, so our heart won't condemn us. God has made a provision. And he says, but beloved, if our heart condemn us not, then have we confidence towards God. And whatsoever we ask, we shall receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight. And this is his commandment, that we should believe on the name of his Son, Jesus Christ, and love one another as he gave us commandment. And he that keepeth his commandments dwelleth in him, and he in him. And hereby we know that he abideth in us, by the Spirit which he hath given us. And how that Spirit within us, how that love ought to truly be there today. As I was speaking more on the natural, how as a husband, my love ought to be there for my wife. To be all I can do to help her. To see that she's got what she needs and anything I can give her going through life. That doesn't mean all the nice fancy things that, oh, I'll buy her jewelry and I'll buy her this. But it's to be there for her, whatever the need may be. And the same with a wife. She is there. She may not have nothing, but she's going to give it her all that she's got. All she may have is just the one dress on her back and the shoes that are on her feet. But she's going to give her love back to her husband in reverence and unity. That when he comes home from work, he longs to come home. He longs to get home, to be at that home with his wife and his family. Not, oh, it's time to go home again. I know men like that. I know people that live in that situation within this message. They don't want to go home when they get off from work. They don't want to go back to their wife. They don't want to see her because she's nagging all the time. She's constantly on his back. She constantly just won't yield to the Holy Spirit. And it makes an uneasy. He don't want to be there. He needs to become a man and put his foot down and rule that home. But she needs the baptism of the Holy Ghost that would bring her under subjection to that precious word. And how we see this and how we want to be a people that, oh, they go to the message churches, they believe Brother Branham was a prophet and their life's totally opposite of what he preached. That's what this message has come to. The prophet brought the word of God and brought the revelation of what was in this book. And today you can go to many message churches and you can pull people out of the pew and it don't take long to find 5, 10, 20 words that they disagree with and don't make live in their life that was preached out of this right here. They don't feel it's necessary. It's not necessary for me to go that far. But oh my, may we truly bend down to the Holy Spirit and let God deal with our hearts. Amen. That every word is every word. There's great revelations. There's great things God has got for us and given to us. But we can't forget the every step along the way that God has brought us. Amen. And this, in closing, you sisters can come to the instruments. I want to read this quote. And this is kind of what is strange, but this is what led me to what I brought this morning. This is in Recognizing Your Day and Its Message, 7/26/1964. And he was talking about Moses and Elijah coming back at the time, at the seals. He says, "But what do you do? What was it to do? And this is to bring forth two witnesses, Moses and Elijah the prophets, which the Jews only believe their prophets. And they'll come forth with the sign of the prophets, and their work will be that of a prophet, for they did exactly, showing one thing, that man, when you die, or whatever, when you leave this world, your nature doesn't change. If you're a liar now, you're a liar there. If you're a hothead here, you'll be a hothead there. If you're a doubter here, you would be a doubter there. Men and women, it's time to shake ourselves and examine yourselves and see where we're standing, for death does not change us." They had been gone for 2,000 years, Moses for about 2,500 years, and Elijah forever since. Almost 2,500 years had Elijah been gone, and Moses had been gone, and here they return with the same nature and do the same things. Death doesn't do nothing to a man but change his dwelling place. Doesn't change your nature. It doesn't change your faith. It doesn't change nothing in you but your dwelling place. So which way your nature is this morning, if you're a doubter of God's word, you'd be a doubter over there. I don't care how holy you are, how you live, how good you live, it wouldn't change you one bit to die, just your dwelling place. And if you can't accept the whole word of God the way it's written, you wouldn't do it there. So don't worry, you won't be there. And saints, how we should apply that to every word. I'm a liar here, I know I'm not going to be there. If I'm a husband that won't rule my home and bring it under subjection and make sure that it's lining 100% up to the word, I know I'm going to be the same thing there. My nature's not going to change. I wouldn't be there. If I'm a wife that won't come under subjection to my husband, it's the same way. We must take this word and let it become a reality to us. God said what he meant, and he doesn't need no interpreter. Amen. And we're each one standing here today, and we're going to give an account for what we've heard. And we're each one going to have to line up to that. But by God's grace, that word is coming now, that I can truly see with an assurance that this body is changing and coming subject to that word. Maybe I made a mistake. Maybe I was short over here, but the word comes and I see my body come subject to that word and I see the change take place in my life. And oh, with a blessed assurance, I know that one of these days this old robe is going to fall off. I am going to change bodies and I am going to be over there. But oh my, what an assurance. That assurance is coming now. Amen. Why? This word is bringing that assurance. Amen. I must rule my home. Check. It's there. Amen. I know I'm following that word. I'm a wife that's supposed to be under subjection to her husband. Check. It's there. I'm a wife that's supposed to be raising my children the way they should be raised in the admonition of the Lord with love and encouragement and correction. I'm bringing them up. Check. It's there. Oh my, what an assurance. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Every day I see more word taking place in my life. The word comes. Oh, thank you, Lord. I see it. I take it, become part of it, and I'm growing. I'm growing. Amen. As our brother, we were talking after service Thursday night. We grow as calves of the stall. One day that little calf's out there running all over the yard, kicking and thrashing and banging into everything. Don't know where he's going, really, but he's still the same bull that he was going to be when he get to maturity. But oh my, each day he eats a little more, and he begins a little wiser. And then when he comes to full maturity, he stands out there with the magnificent structure of that big old bull. And he's slow of step and sure of step. He knows where he's going, what he's doing. Every day it's he's not that little gangly calf no more, but he's growing into maturity. And the bride of Jesus Christ is coming to maturity. It's not a people tossed to and fro. Today it's up, today it's down, tomorrow it's up, tomorrow it's down. But the word of God is bringing a steadfastness, a maturity into their life that holds them through every storm and test of life. Oh my, and he's coming back just like he said. Amen. And he's going to take her away. But oh my, may we take heed to every word that we've heard. Don't let nothing slip. Let's hold it dear to our hearts. and pull that much closer. But oh my, God will reward you. Amen. You make it work and you just watch God. When you know that you're marching correctly to His orders, you can rest in the time of trouble. You can just have the peace to know that it's in God's hands. He'll take care of it. But oh my, we must follow the leading of the Holy Spirit and follow the word and the instruction that's been given to us in this age. But oh my, let the Lord have His way. Amen. Let's all stand. Hallelujah. Two services in a row. I went and got long-winded. I apologize, but amen. I try to always only go a half hour. But God knows everything. Amen. I thank Him for His love and His mercy and His grace, saints. Amen. And you know, sometimes we bring the word and it might seem like we're bringing it harsh or hard, and we don't mean it that way. This is the measuring stick. We've got to make sure that we're lining up and we're in tune, and that's the way we should view it every time. I might find I'm only down here on the 12-inch mark, but by God's grace, I'm going to get to the 13-inch mark, and then I'm going to get to the 14th, and I'm going to keep climbing until I'm exactly where I know every word is exactly what God said I would be. I am going to come to the fullness of the stature of Christ because I've been predestinated to be conformed to His image. Amen. Not on my works. Not on my merits, but I'm relying on what He made me, amen, what He's placed inside of me, and what He will do through me. Amen. Don't you love Him?
Amen.
Hallelujah. I got a little song here on my heart. I'm going to try to find it real quick. Amen. It won't take me but a minute. I saw this. Amen. Brother Luke, I believe you probably know it. It's a wholehearted service. It's in the capstone book on page 51. Amen. Do you know that? You don't know that? How about the one on 48, Hide Thou Me? Do you know how that goes? Amen. If you know that, come up and help lead us in it. Amen. You can dismiss us. Amen. Come on up. Amen. I like this little song. I've been reading it, and I'd like to sing it, but I just can't seem to get the hang of it. So I know a lot of you probably already know it, but let's just sing it together.
Sometimes I feel discouraged and think my life's in vain. I'm tempted then to and all.
we're so thankful for this service and the words you've given us and the strength and courage you've given us, and we just pray you'll go with us and have thine own way in our lives. In the name of Jesus Christ we pray.
Amen.
Amen.
Praise
Amen. Can we just try to sing that chorus one more time? Just the verse, that last verse. Amen. Amen. Lost page. Amen. Oh, what is Jesus, sure anchor for my soul, so tender, true, and gracious, I'm safe in His control, my help in time of danger, my strong defense is He. Oh, Thou hast Rock of Ages, hide Thou me. Amen. Have you truly found Him to be all of that? Amen. Oh, isn't He wonderful? Hallelujah. My, I'm just so thankful for what God's given us and doing for us. And you know, I just pray that, like I said, we can each find something today from the Word. You know, it's not here to bring our opinions or our ideas, but we're here to look into the Word of God and say, Lord, show me the way, lead me, guide me, Lord, that every step I take, Lord, is pleasing and honoring You. That's why I'm here. I'm not here just to be an American citizen. I wasn't sitting here just to be a young child or a young teenager. If God's drawed you to a place to where the Word is coming, cry out to God and say, Lord, I'm here. And we open your heart to Him and see what God's got for you. Amen. You know, it's wonderful to see our parents have the love of Jesus Christ burning in their heart and see mommy and daddy so in love with each other and see the sweetness of the Holy Spirit in their life. But as young people, we can have the same thing. We can have that steadfast, sure. He's a what a friend I have in Jesus. All earthly friends will let you down. Though when you get into a true time of trouble, somebody you really thought was a friend in the natural will let you down. But Jesus Christ will be there no matter what you go through. He'll be the strong arm, the secure tower that'll hold you. He'll be there to listen when there's no one else to turn to. He's there all the time. He is a strong tower, a security, an anchor of my soul. And oh my, I pray that one day each one of you young children will know Him the same way. Amen. Amen. Love Him and appreciate Him, saints. We won't have any service this evening, but may the Lord bless you. And may we come back Thursday evening if He should tarry and come hungry and asking God to continue to open our hearts. There's great assurances that can come as the Lord has been dealing with our pastor to bring the messages He's been bringing. What an assurance that ought to be bringing into our heart. And as I said, every day when this word comes and I begin to be able to find a foothold, that's me. Amen to that word, and I see it change. Oh, what an assurance ought to be bulling up that I'm one day closer to the appearing of the Lord. Every day we live, we're one day closer. It might be 5 years, might be 20, but we're still one day closer. But whether today or 20 years, I know I'll be ready and I'll be there on that day. But what He's doing in me now, I know my down payment's made. I've got the token. I'm going to ride on that train. Amen. By God's grace, I see Him working. I see Him working in my life. And it's an individual affair. We've each one got to see that for ourselves. I see what God's doing on the inside of me. Amen. We grow as calves of the stall. Sometimes that you go out in the barnyard, you got a whole bunch of calves. You got one that are just born, got some that are full, getting a lot closer to being full maturity, but they're all still calves. They're all still bulls. They're all still in the same family. Amen. And by God's grace, are every one going to be exactly what God said they would be. Oh my. Brother Josh, you got something to say? God's word, saints. We've just got to adhere to it. But you know how thankful we each one should be as adults. If we had parents that raised us right and showed us the way, You know, we can't make our children bride, and our parents couldn't make us bride. It took the hand of God and the mercy and grace of the Lord Jesus Christ to make us who we are today. But I pray every day for my children that, Lord, Amen. You give them the same thing you've given me. And help them, Lord, to be able to stand. Yes. Not on daddy's shirt tail, but stand on their own two feet. Amen. And be what God's ordained them to be in their life. Amen. But oh my, may we each one give all we've got. Just remember, God's give us those gifts. He placed them children in our care. They're our responsibility, and he didn't give them to you if he didn't think you could handle it. And we can handle it on our own, but through him we can do all things. Amen. And by God's grace, they'll come out a trophy of what God said they should be. Amen. May the Lord bless you. You're all dismissed. Till we meet again. Amen. Amen.